you to know he's going to let us down once again. Sorry about that. Let's jump into our first topic.
What is going on? What a vainglorious day. And what an outstanding day just for football in general. The Baltimore Ravens, they did it. Lamar Jackson, he's finally overcome his demons. Yes, indeed. Listen, I'm so late. I can't even sit still. I am so excited for this game. But before we get started, just one more thing.
Yes! Yes! Can you feel that, buddy? Huh? I have exorcised the demons. This house is clear. Losers? Get him out of here! Losers!
Let's go, Ace!
Losers!
Why are you shaking your head?
You never cease to amaze me.
What? It's a bunch of losers.
I know.
Listen, you haven't been in my chat section in the comments where Houston Texans fans have been coming at me all week long, talking about how we're trash, talking about how we have a running back for a quarterback, how they were going to come in and destroy us just like they did the Cleveland Browns. But guess what? Didn't happen.
Did not happen. Good evening. How are you doing, Hendo, and everyone in the chat?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm ecstatic. I'm elated. I'm so happy. But I'm sure we'll take a deep dive into this game. But I can't wait. This is such a wonderful time to be a Ravens fan.
Yes, it is. Listen, I know a lot of people that were watching the game weren't aware of certain things, but today was a lot of firsts that happened with Lamar Jackson at quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. This is the first time since 2018, since he became the starting quarterback of the playoff run, this is the first time in the game we've scored points in the first quarter.
Ooh.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is strange. It's very, very weird because, I mean, like I said, I know we're going to talk more about it, but this game to me was a tale of two halves.
Yes, it was. Also, because of that second half surge that put the game away, this is also the first time that a Lamar Jackson-led Baltimore Ravens team has scored more than 20 points in a playoff game. Can you believe that?
I cannot. I mean, I'm wrapping my mind around something that has just been, you know, talked about and brandished about in the public media. Just, oh, Lamar can't do this, he can't do that, and the goalpost is going to continue to move. But for today, Ravens fans, Ravens flock, let's just celebrate, bask in it, and enjoy it for what it is. We're here. AFC championship, here we come.
Yes indeed. Now, if you were watching the game, and I know that some of us got pretty, pretty nervous during that first half run, it was, you know, I was thinking we were going to come in, and I knew that we were going to score points, and I knew that we were actually going to blow them out. But for me, to go into halftime 10-10, I thought it had a little bit to do with us taking the time off and, you know, the rust versus rest thing. I think the rest helped us, but I think that the rust for the offensive side of the ball is what kind of slowed us down. And it kind of was like, oh no, because I was watching Coach Evans stream on Sip to Tally, and a lot of people were in the chat like, oh my gosh, I'm getting 2019 vibes. Yeah. They were just like, after that punt return for a touchdown, they were like, oh, here we go again. Yeah. The defense played well. And one thing about our defense, listen, we have triple crown winners. We have the best scoring defense in the league. We were number one in sacks and number one in turnovers. We, to my knowledge, didn't get a sack this game. We got close. We didn't get sacks. And we are a bend but don't break type team. And we've said this all season long. Like, we're going to give up some yards, but when it comes to scoring, we're not going to let them do it. And they only put up 3 points.
That's right.
3 points. That one fallacy that we had was because of a special teams blunder. And a lot of people, and I can say I'm not the biggest John Harbaugh fan, but when that happened, people were saying, John Harbaugh, you're a special teams coach. And the last several seasons, our special teams has just gone downhill. And they were like, fire Harbaugh. Fire him now. Mm. And I'm like, I'm harsh, but I'm not that harsh. I mean, it's still fire Harbaugh, but just not for that reason. you know. So how did you feel about this game?
As I mentioned, a tale of two halves. So like you said, our defense, we did not have any sacks and we did not have any turnover. We didn't force any turnovers, but we still managed to apply pressure. Mm-hmm. We still managed to contain, so to speak. What's the wide receiver?
Zay Flowers?
No. They're
white. Nico Collins.
Nico Collins. Our defense managed to somewhat limit Nico Collins, which was a huge factor for me. Like, what's the plan? And I felt pretty confident in Mike McDonald that he would have some type of formula, some rubric as to what he could do to just not have Nico go off in this game. Mm-hmm. Slice up the defense like they did to the Cleveland Browns. I was fairly confident in that. But as you mentioned, the first half in terms of our offense was lackluster. It was, you know, like we were three and outs and we just couldn't seem to get a decent drive going. It was frustrating. And I'll be completely honest, I didn't think that the game was going to be a wash after the first half or even after the second half, but I was concerned. I'll say that my hopes were a little dampened, so to speak. But the fact that we were able to come back after halftime and really just settle in, play our style of offense, play our style of football, and relax. That's when we really saw the Baltimore Ravens shine. So kudos to the coaching staff. Kudos to the players, everyone. It was just really a team effort. So very, very pleased.
Indeed, indeed. Welcome, Agro Valley Farms. Welcome to the channel. If you're new here, subscribe. I haven't seen your name before. But like he says, playing to our strengths, running the ball in the second half made the huge difference. And to me, I want to give a shout out to the coaching staff, because this is exactly something that we as Ravens fans aren't really used to with the coaching staff. We're not used to them making in-game adjustments. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we come in, Harbaugh does not always have this team prepared for what's at hand, but I do think that they did an outstanding job. And I think that in the previous playoff losses that we've had, we've gone away from the team that we are. Since Lamar's become the quarterback, and even before him, we are a run-dominant team. We led the league in rushing this season. Teams could not stop us. I think they put up a stat that said we averaged 156 yards a game. Yeah. And I think that the first half, it was more of let's try to get Lamar and see where he can take us to kind of kill that narrative. I think we were all about trying to kill narratives this game about what Lamar can do. But then in the second half, we said, listen, we run the ball. This is our strength. This is what we do. They ran Lamar a little bit more than normal. Not too much, but they ran him a little bit more than normal. And I think that's when this offense took off. Shout out and props to Jose and Brodney, because they've always showed love to Justice Hill. And I have to give Justice Hill his props. He ran hard. He broke tackles. I think he was part of the reason, outside of Lamar Jackson, that there was a difference in the second half. So kudos to them. Kudos to the coaching staff for finally realizing they can't stop us running.
No.
They can, especially our pass blocking wasn't the best. So we kind of had to shift towards that. But if we continue to run the ball and play smart in Todd Monken, I was a little skeptical when they hired Todd Monken in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that Isaiah Likely touchdown, that showed me something. That run fake, like the whole Texas team was running to stop Lamar because they couldn't stop him before. And he just pulled the ball back and threw it up. So to me, kudos to the coaching staff.
Absolutely. That touchdown pass to Likely was a thing of beauty. It was, if you want to talk about a perfect design, a perfect play, a perfect level of execution, that's one for the books for sure.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right. Shout out to my man, Jared Green, for the 333 tip. He says, we got the win. On to the next.
On to the next. That's it.
And he also sent another donation. Shout out to him. He said, even though Todd Monken was getting on my nerves, I knew we were going to win the game. Yes, I mean, I think that all of us as Ravens fans believe that we were going to win the game, but there was a little bit of trepidation, like, oh, here we go again. I just think we are prisoners of history, and we've seen this song kind of before, where there are games that we should just dominate them, because we slowed C.J. Stroud down, and C.J. Stroud has been on a heater. as of late. Like, that kid is unstoppable. And you can see the talent that he possesses. It's just that we were shutting him down. And it's like, okay, the defense is doing their job. Offense, just do your job. And to me, we didn't have that one costly turnover that changed the tide of the game.
That's right. I want to ask you about OBJ. So we did a stream earlier this week, and you said that you believe that, or at least it was your expectation or your hope, that this game we would see OBJ go off. Like, we have been saving him, we've been containing him, bottling him up, preserving him for such a time as this. 3 games left. That's it. And we saw OBJ minimally.
Right.
He had a couple of catches, maybe 2-3 that I can recall. Not more than that. What are your thoughts on that?
On OBJ?
On the limitation of our use of OBJ in contrast to what your thought was, how he would be, or your expectation of how he would be utilized in this game.
I was a tad bit frustrated. I was a tad bit overwhelmed a little bit. I thought that this was the game, this was the reason, this playoff stretch was why we were kind of limiting him and holding him back. I don't know if he was injured or hurt during the season, but I thought we were like, listen, we're going to try to keep him as fresh as we can for this playoff run, and he's going to be possibly that X factor that's going to take us over the top. And to my knowledge, he had one catch for 11 yards.
I thought it was maybe 2, but I know it was under, it wasn't many. It was a couple.
Right. So I'm not sure. And this is one of the reasons that the fellas and I have always said, especially during the offseason, that we need another wide receiver. Now, Zay Flowers, he's a rookie. He's going to do his thing. I expected him to do what he did. Yeah. Bateman showed up big today, but I thought that we needed another wide receiver that could kind of get Lamar out of those jams, the guy he could just throw the ball up to and say, listen, 50-50 ball, I need you to go get it. I'm not sold on the demise of OBJ just yet, only because it's one game. And the Texans had a great plan. Listen, during the season, the Texans blitzed about 22% of the time. During the first half, it was up to 67, 68%. I don't think that we were prepared for the blitz because the offensive line definitely wasn't ready for this. And we didn't know what to do. And Lamar seemed a little bit flustered. You could see him getting upset. He was yelling at Ronnie Stanley on the sideline. And I think that this part of Lamar, and he said it in an interview with one of the networks yesterday, I believe, he said, listen, I feel like today I'm more of a leader than I was back in 2019, because in 2019 I was this young kid in a room full of grown men, and I didn't feel comfortable with giving my voice or showing who I was as a leader. And today you could see it. He was telling people, hey, block, go here. What are you doing? And I think that is what got that offensive line to do what they needed to do, because if you looked in the first half, everybody, false starts, it was holdings, it was just people just missing assignments. And in the second half, we got it together and we actually did what we needed to do.
That's exactly right. That first half, the offensive line, they looked abysmal. It was just, it was ridiculous to the point it was offensive. I was like, you guys have been gelling as a unit now for an entire season. This is the moment where it really counts. Put it all together, please. And it just wasn't there. And I did not really start to believe or feel comfortable in the offensive line until after halftime. Okay. So shout out, kudos to Monken for making in-game adjustments. He realized this: we're not ready. We're not prepared for the blitz. They were just blitzing heavily. Like you said, 60-70%. And I said, we have no answer for this. Right. We have no justifiable answer or how to get out of this. We don't know. We don't have it figured out. Todd Monken figured it out. So whatever they did, whatever words were exchanged in the locker room at halftime, it worked.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to Brandon E for the $6.90 donation. Says, thanks for your live. Let's go, Ravens. Appreciate you. Also, $6.90 from T.
Thank you
for the live. Let's go, Ravens. Yes, let's go, Ravens. One more game.
One at a time.
One more game. And we already taken care of this one. We got the 24-hour rule. We'll celebrate. You know, the team would, you know, have a party, but it's on to the next one now. And tomorrow we have the game and the matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. This is the first, hard to believe, in his 7-year career that Patrick Mahomes is going on the road to have a playoff game. Which team, you in the chat, you, Yolanda, which team do you prefer facing? Which one do you want? We've beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs one time. I think it was back in 2010. And we've lost in 2021 to the Buffalo Bills. So which team would you prefer us go up against?
That's a great question. And I go back and forth on it because when I consider and look at the Buffalo Bills and how they have been on again, off again, hit, miss, all season, up until recently, they were able to somehow dethrone the Miami Dolphins, edge them out, who were up 3 games, I think by week 16 or 15 or 16, they were up in leading that division by 3 games. And the Buffalo Bills somehow got hot toward the very end. Now, we can always count on Josh Allen to have some turnovers.
Yes.
That's something that we're going to just come to expect. But the point I want to stress or, you know, emphasize with Josh Allen, in the midst of all of his turnovers, he still finds a way and his team rallies together to find a way to win. So that's a concern I have about the Bills. On the other side, we look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And we see a team that has looked very disjointed, very disconnected, very unstable, unsteady, if you will. Mm-hmm. But with you have Patrick Mahomes at the helm, that switch can turn on like that. And it doesn't take much when you have that level of athlete, that level of talent. So that within itself presents a hurdle and a challenge all of its own. So to answer your question, I know I went down a very long lane to get to the answer. The answer to, for me, I think they're going to equally be a tough matchup.
Okay. So for me, it's hard to say. The Bills have been in playoff mode for the last 6 weeks. They had to win 6 games to make the playoffs and then win the AFC East title. Josh Allen, to me, he presents a problem, kind of sort of like Lamar Jackson does. He can throw it. He can run it. And he's a bit bigger. It gets kind of rough in the cold when you got to tackle somebody 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
And especially if they're coming at you all game long. But being that they were in playoff mode, there tends to be a letdown because you've consumed all of this energy just trying to stay afloat. Now you can't swim to shore. But defensively, they have a couple of pieces. Like their star cornerback is Tre'Davious White. He's out for the year. Matt Milano, their star linebacker, is out for the year. They have some other pieces. Now they're starting to lean on that run game, which is the one missing piece that I think that the Bills have not had in the previous seasons. But like you said, with Patrick Mahomes, you can never count them out.
And
I think that he's found his lane with Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. He can turn it on at any time. So to me, but also I think Kansas City has a top 8 defense. But either way, no matter what team we face, I think we're going to smash them. But to me, it would be great to either beat KC, because we dethrone the champs. If you want to be the champs, you have to beat the champs. But it also, for me, would be a nice factor to go in and beat Buffalo, because all this talk about Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, draft mates in 2018, and everybody just elevating Allen over Lamar, I think it just would be fitting. Also, they beat us.
Yeah.
So just that revenge factor, I think it gives me a little bit more, but I really don't care. When that game happens, whoever wins, so be it. I think that we can take either team, especially with KC being limited offensively. I think the game against the Dolphins, playoff game against the Dolphins, was the most points they've scored in like the last 7 weeks.
Yep.
So they had problems scoring. Buffalo, it really don't matter. It really don't matter. Well, listen, we'll beat them. We'll beat whatever team comes our way because of our quarterback. I mean, if you look at our quarterback, look what he did. In his first four playoff games, 56% completion percentage, 225 yards passing, 3-5 touchdown interception ratio, 91.8 yards rushing, and a touchdown. And in this game today, he's eclipsed that. 73% completion. He only had 152 yards because that's all that was really needed. Two touchdown passes, two touchdown rushing, and a 100-yard game. So to me, I think that Lamar is elevating his game and at the right time. And this is the thing that we've been saying for the last four seasons. Get him some weapons. Get him an offensive coach that utilizes his skills and gets the best out of him and puts him in the best position to win. And we saw what happened in that second half. You unleashed him. Let him do Lamar-type things. Yeah. Don't try to constrict him to a box and say, oh, well, you know what? We're going to go out here and pass to show the world that he can pass. No. You run him. You let him pass when he finds the openness. And the one thing I will say, and I know people are like, oh, you nitpicking. Yes, I'm nitpicking. The one thing that I said in the chat in the Discord, and I'll say again, is the one thing that I want Lamar to do, because before in the past, I said the one thing that Lamar needs to improve on is anticipatory throws. I think he needs to anticipate when guys are getting open and throw them open. He's done that. The one other thing that I really need Lamar to do, especially going forward, is to hit those checkdowns.
Yes.
Because there were plenty of times Pat Ricard was wide open. Gus Edwards was wide open. And instead of waiting and looking to go for that downfield shot, just take the checkdown. Get a couple yards. Because that one play, that one series, when we got the ball at like the 45, 48-yard line, mm-hmm. it was first and 10. And I'm like, all right, we're going to at least get a field goal out of this. I think it was right before the half. And then we went back, and it was third and 32 because we're trying to get too cute. Do what you do best. Stick to that, and I think we shall be fine.
Agreed. If Lamar can learn to take what the defense gives him, take the check down. You don't have to have the big play every time, and that's okay. But he's always wanting that big play. But at some point during, you know, if the defense is not allowing it, if they're stopping that big play, like you said, take the check down. So learning that would be good. And here for me, wishful thinking, mm-hmm. what would it be like to have a Mike Evans right now for Lamar Jackson or a DK Metcalf, that big body wide receiver that says, just throw it to me, 50-50 ball. Trust me, I got it. Mm-hmm. Because I started to wonder at some point early on in the game, Lamar, are you trusting your wide receivers?
Right.
And I just wondered like if he had someone who he really knew had a demonstrated history, a longstanding history of being successful in their craft as a wide receiver, to bail him out when he's scrambling, when he's struggling, when he's trying to keep a play alive. If he had someone like a DK or Mike Evans or mm-hmm. you know, that would be amazing. But we don't have it, so we need to work with what we have. Because next weekend is going to be here before we know it. So,
yeah. Because listen, you can just look at the season and see the effect that Mike Evans had on Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was considered a bust. He's bounced around the league, and then he goes down there and he's likely made himself at least $100 million contract coming up.
Absolutely.
And most of his throws, the majority of his throws, were to Mike Evans. Now, I'm not saying we go get Mike Evans next year. He would be a welcome addition to this team. But for me, I need them to get someone that's younger, that Lamar can grow with. I don't need another 30-something-year-old wide receiver that Lamar gets a good year or two out like they did with Flacco. I need them to get somebody he can grow with, somebody he can trust. And I think that trust is a big factor to it, because he's waiting for guys to get wide open instead of trusting that, hey, I'm going to get you the ball. Like one pass to Nelson Aguilar. It was meant for Zay Flowers, but Nelson Aguilar kind of intercepted it and he dropped it. You know what I'm saying? All right, T, take care. Thank you for stopping by. So I do think that they need to get something, but I do think next season or going forward, I think he needs to trust more in Isaiah Likely, because I was thinking about something, and there have been talks about Isaiah Likely versus Mark Andrews. And Mark Andrews, for all of his greatness, his all-pro season in 2021, the one year we didn't make the playoffs, for all of his greatness, I've looked at Mark Andrews' stats, and he's never had a touchdown in the postseason.
Hmm.
Never had a touchdown in the postseason. And last season, he had 73 yards receiving. That was the first time he had more than 43 yards receiving in a playoff game. And for those years previous, for him to be our number one receiver, you know. So for me, I think that Lamar needs to lean in on Isaiah a little bit more. And hopefully Mark can come back and give us another option. I'm not opposed to that, but I just think that don't rush him if he's not healthy, because we don't need him getting injured late in the season and in next season not have him available, even though we do have a suitable replacement, even though I was not that high on Likely in the beginning. I'm seeing him getting better with the opportunity. And a lot of people have said, give these young guys the opportunity and they'll progress. And I do see him progressing. So to me, getting that option, yes, but looking forward, and I don't want to look forward to next season. And this is why I harp on the fact of we need to win a championship now. This iteration of the Baltimore Ravens will not be the same next season. We have so many free agents, so many free agents. So we need to go out and win this title now.
Yeah, definitely. What are your thoughts on, and everyone in the chat? And if you happen to be watching on replay, thank you so much. We appreciate you for coming by. Make sure you hit a like and subscribe. My question is, what did you guys think about Melvin Gordon? Did we use him? Did we overutilize him? Did we underutilize him? Do you think he capitalized on his opportunity? What were your thoughts?
My thoughts was, I was surprised to see Melvin Gordon sitting on a bench, knowing that we just cut him. Was that who you were meant to talk about?
No, I'm Dalvin sorry. Cook? Dalvin Cook. I said Melvin Gordon, yes. Dalvin Cook. My apologies. What were your thoughts about Dalvin Cook?
Being that we won the game, it's hard to argue with their game plan. I think that they should have used him a little bit more in the first half because you can see the explosiveness. He has fresh legs. Being that he really didn't play much, he got about 5 touches a game with the New York Jets this season. He really didn't play that much, and he looked really good, but Justice Hill was doing his thing. Even at times, Gus Edwards, he was breaking tackles. Even when there was no yards to gain, he went out there and made those tough yards. So I could see why they didn't, but maybe it was times I saw some of the offensive linemen talking to him. So maybe he didn't know the full playbook. Maybe he wasn't as prepared as he could have been or maybe should have been to get these plays in. But once the game was at hand and they let him in, we saw what he could do. So I think with another week to prepare and him getting more acclimated to this offense, I think we need to use him more. I think he needs to be the second back in, and I think they need to utilize him out of the backfield. I think he is a better option catching the ball because he has breakaway speed. He breaks tackles, and I think he can help us win. But if we continue the way that we're going, we might not need him.
Yeah, good point. I think he did a great job coming in. Like you said, he's only been with the team 16 days, and for him to have any contribution is great. So spending another week with the team, going through practice, building that chemistry with Lamar, I think it's just going to add to our, to our depth chart. So,
yes, indeed. And listen, with this win, and hopefully the next win, this is going to make this even more sweeter. Like, it's just going to just give it that chef's kiss. Being if we win a Super Bowl, and you know, April 6th, we're giving a stadium tour. So all our patrons free of charge, we're giving a stadium tour at M&T Bank Stadium. Afterwards, we're going to hang out. It's myself, lunch break, hot take, open mic with OTR Mike. I don't think that Coach Evans is going to be able to make it. And I'm not sure if – I don't think Chris may be able to make it. I have to check with him. But if you are a patron, and if you want to become a patron, sign up, patreon.com/ROUG. Come in, you can win yourself a ring like this. I don't want to bring out the belts or anything, but you can get to our Discord. You get video suggestions. You may even, at times, be able to come on screen, like this patron right here, and her smiling face is happy. So I think once we win the Super Bowl, that stadium tour is going to be even sweeter.
Yeah, patron requested streams. They're back.
They're only for new patrons. They're not for old patrons. I've said this several times before.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Okay.
I don't recall. Right.
You don't recall. All right, listen, we've been here 30 minutes. I didn't plan on this being a long stream. We do have our normally scheduled stream tomorrow 7 p.m. So make sure you come back. Yes, make sure you come back. And if you're new to the channel, make sure to like and subscribe. Share this video. Help build this channel up. Help it get on that YouTube algorithm. Because like CJ Stroud, unlike today, we've been on a heater. Like the past week, we've been making some traction. We've been making some movement. You know what I'm saying? Channel's been growing, you know. So on to bigger and better things. We got some things planned for next season. Got a call-in show, possibly.
Ooh.
possibly for next season. Some changes are coming. So we're going to get up out of here because I believe, if not already, Lunch Break Hot Take is streaming next. Make sure you go over to their channel, hit up their content. Make sure you go check out Coach Evans' stream from earlier. He also did a call-in show. I didn't say yes, more streams, Brandon. I just said bigger and better things, sir. So
I think that's what I heard too, Brandon. Yeah. More streams.
No, I didn't hear it. Queen was in question. Yeah, he was. They I'm not even gonna get it. We'll get into that tomorrow. We'll get into all of the positives and negatives tomorrow night. So LBHT is live. Make sure you guys go over there to their stream. Dope, dope content. If you like what we're doing, there's just two tops better. I'm just saying. Any parting words before we get out of here?
Sure. Thank you all so much for coming by and just having a, you know, instant reaction live of our win against the Texans. For all of the Texans fans who might be watching this stream or watching it on replay, I'm not going to come for you the same way that some of your fan base came for us. I'll just simply say your quarterback is the real deal. And I can see a very bright future for that duo, your coach and your quarterback. So couldn't get it done against the Ravens, but, you know, we try to tell you. But I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway, thank you all so much for coming. I hope you all take care, stay safe, and always go Ravens.
Indeed. And like I said, I don't like to say I told you so as well, but I told y'all Green Bay Packers are going to beat the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, so that's one more obstacle that's going to be out the way for a Super Bowl run. Indeed. So thank you all. Appreciate you. Go Ravens. On to the next one. And I'll leave you with this.